Tonight, you know, I had mentioned this morning how that we were going to continue with the series, Restoring the Fallen. And as soon as Stephen's done flirting.
That could be a while, Pastor.
Yeah. Just pass those out. This is, what you're receiving is not the prophecy from this morning. Those letters are just about finished. They need to be stuffed in envelopes and so forth. The envelopes have to be printed yet. But the confessions that you're receiving are confessions that we use during confession times here at the church, you know, frequently. And not everybody may have a copy of these. So, and we are going to make sure I get one copy of those. I didn't keep them for myself. And since I don't have them memorized, we are going to go through those later on, but I had mentioned we were going to continue in the series. What's it called? Restoring the Fallen. And we're not going to do that tonight. What I'm going to do, you know, I think everybody was here this morning. We are going to, Barry, bring one of those to me if you have any left over. Thanks. You know, I would encourage you to pray about that series. I'm sensing in the spirit it's striking a nerve. And, you know, I'm not going to go into much detail about that, just that there's confusion in the body of Christ about this concept of somebody really being able to be restored from a closet life of sin, you know, a Christian now. And the whole concept of complete, total restoration and permanent change, quite frankly, is lost on a lot of Christians. And I will talk about that in more detail. I don't know if we'll continue it Sunday or Wednesday, but I will talk about that a little bit more, and you know, share a little bit about how that, quite frankly, the church has adopted the world's system of belief system when it comes to restoration and permanent change. I mean, basically, the world says it can't happen. And one of the proofs of that is that certain people will tell you that they were born a certain way. And if you're born a certain way, then you cannot change. And so there are Christians that have actually begun to believe certain doctrines that are put forth by those groups. And, you know, the belief is, well, since they can't change, then we need to learn how to adapt and embrace, not necessarily approving, but adapt and embrace. Now, with Jesus, there was no adapting and embracing. He died for the sinner, but he never adapted, nor did he embrace the sin. And this is a very subtle thing in the body of Christ. Well, it's been subtle, but it's becoming more pronounced. But anyway, when this series is released, you know, to the public or whatever, when we're finished with it, I can tell you right now, I'm already seeing that there are going to be a lot of Christians. Well, there are a lot of Christians, if they hear it, they're going to have a hard time with it. Because if you're a Christian and you've got an area of sin in your life that you don't want to change, then what you want to do then is convince people that you can't change. And you'll find other Christians that will accept that and they'll believe it. Well, that's just the way he is. And we, you know, you have to learn to control yourself. No, that's what Paul called will worship. It is not a matter of, there's a balance in this. But the concept of self-control denies permanent change. Now granted, we, like Paul said, I keep under my body. In other words, you know, we do control. You know, mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. But there's a big difference between accepting a type of sin and just trying to control it until you feel like you don't want to control it on a particular moment, given day. There's a difference between that and getting in the presence of God and experience permanent change. A huge difference. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that more and more. But nevertheless, the word this morning, it went forth. There were admonitions from God to pray. And what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to read this again. And as I read through each section, because there were several topics that he covered, as I read through each section, we're going to stop and just pray over it. And, as I'm praying, you pray along with me over this. And then after we're finished going through this, we'll go through the confessions here tonight. So, and by the way, we're not making, we're not going to have it. There won't necessarily be a tape available of tonight unless you just have to have it, because basically it's just going to be me reading this and us praying, and then the confessions. And if you want a tape, we'll make one special for you. But typically, this isn't what you'd call a tape service, so to speak. But it is being recorded. So, I'll go through this. For the time is short, so short, much shorter than you realize. Things are happening in the spirit that cannot be seen with the mortal eye. Things are happening rapidly. I have said in my word that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And he does this through vessels who hear his voice. He does not speak of himself, but only that which he hears. His voice is my voice. When he speaks, I am speaking. Hear my words and know that I am moving. Now, Father, we just come before you on behalf of this that you have said. And we just declare that anyone who reads these words or hears them, that they will have ears to hear. And that, Father, they will receive your words. And they won't dismiss these things that you have said. They won't dismiss these warnings. But, Father, they'll sink deeply into the hearts of the hearers and the readers. And that they'll receive these words from you. Not from man, but from you. And that, Father, they'll see the importance. And that their eyes will be opened. And they will understand that you are telling us ahead of time about things that need to be dealt with in the realm of the Spirit. And how we can change situations in this world. So, Father, again, may every heart that reads or hears these words that you have given us be touched, be impacted in such a way that they won't dismiss it and write it off, but that, Father, it will stay with them and that it will motivate them to pray. I told you not long ago, less than 1 year ago, that a new voice would rise within your country. I said it would not be a voice, a new voice, but one that would be new to most people. I told you that it would be a charming voice, one which would sound pleasing and acceptable. But I also told you that it was a voice of evil and deception, a voice not to be trusted. You have heard that voice. Those of you who have watched your news have seen this person. This voice has spoken words of unity, but they cloak disaster. This voice has already begun to penetrate the hearts and minds of both the lost and my church. This voice has begun appealing to many. There are those in my church who are dull of hearing and spiritually numb, and they would vote for this person today to put him into the White House. The enemy's plan to move this person into great prominence has been masterful. He has moved slowly, yet methodically, to raise this person up. On the surface, this person does not appear to be evil and says things which sound so right. But the words are planned and calculated, often crafted by the enemy himself. I am warning you now that this country is headed for a severe testing. If my church does not pray and seek my direction for the coming elections, there will be great suffering. The most recent elections must be viewed as warnings of what is to come if my church is not sensitive to me and votes the way I desire. I will not put a person in office of my own accord. You are the ones who vote. If you do not guard yourselves and listen to me, the wrong people will be elected, and much of this country will be handed over to Satan. Now, Father, we lift this up to you, and you've told us that we need to pray, and so we pray over this. Father, we lift this person up, this voice that you're speaking of,
And we just ask right now that the eyes of your church will be opened to see what is behind this person. That their eyes would be opened and their ears would be opened, that they would hear beyond the charming voice, that they would hear beyond the pleasing and the acceptable, that they would recognize the voice of evil and the voice of deception, and that they would realize that they cannot trust this voice. Father, may they look beyond culture. May they look beyond skin color. May they look beyond economic declarations and plans. May they look beyond all of these things that seem to be social issues, and may they see the truth of what is happening, the spiritual reality of what is happening. Father, those that have already heard this person and those who have seen this individual, bring to mind the image of that person. May they see this person clearly. May they understand the cloak of disaster that is operating. Father, may they those who are the dull of hearing and the spiritually numb, may there be a fire ignited on the inside of them, and may the dullness be removed from their hearing, and may the numbness be removed from their spirit, and may they see that casting a vote for this person would be like casting a vote for the devil himself. Father, we ask that the plans of the enemy would be exposed to this nation and to the body of Christ, that people would see what's really behind, what's really motivating, what the real plans are. And may those, Father, that would consider themselves to, maybe they're not even Christians, but they consider themselves to be conservative, may they see this and may they become alarmed. May those in the political scene become very alarmed at what is happening. May all of this be exposed, Father. And Father, we do lift up the coming elections. And even though it's some time off, we lift those elections up right now to you. And we ask that you get involved in this nation and that you begin raising up politicians and even those, Father, that maybe they aren't considered politicians, but those who would be willing to serve this nation while they are serving you, and that the eyes of the body of Christ would be open to see who they should vote for. Father, may the campaigns swing in the direction of those who would serve you while serving this country, of those, Father, who would stand for what is right, of those, Father, who would stand for the things of your word and not be ashamed or not be afraid to name the name of Jesus and declare your word. Father, open the eyes of the body of Christ to realize that, yes, we are the ones who vote, and that you are not the person who just puts people in office. Father, may the body of Christ hear you, and may they respond. And may the Christians who are not registered to vote, Father, move on them to begin to register to vote, and their eyes be open to see who they should vote for, and that, Father, our hearts would be prepared, even right now, working in us, to prepare us for the coming elections, so that when the votes are cast, they will be cast in the direction of what you desire, in accordance with your word, Father, so that this country will still maintain a semblance of spirituality, and that it would increase, Father, and that this country would be diverted from the direction it's headed, and that, Father, it would be conducive for your revival to spread throughout this land. Hallelujah. My son warned that in the last days false prophets would arise. This is happening now, and it's even increasing. Let me tell you how this is happening. Just as I do not raise up my own prophets unless they are hearing from me and have gone through a time of spiritual preparation, the false prophets will not arise until they have gone through a season of preparation. The preparation of a false prophet is well developed by the enemy. He starts very slowly and tests the waters of an individual's character and spiritual stability. He carefully observes what I am doing in a person's life and tries to counterfeit my moving for the purpose of deceiving that person. He closely observes that person's reactions to the counterfeit to see how far he can take that person into the next level of deception. Over time, he is able to lead this person further and further away from truth with that which is a lie, but is now accepted as truth. The enemy is not able to manufacture a calling, but he can take advantage of the calling I have placed upon a person. Through this process of deception, the enemy is able to get this person operating by a false anointing. There are times when this person will minister according to truth, my truth, and then minister according to deception. This is how even the very elect can be deceived. These false prophets are slowly but surely increasing in your midst. My heart is breaking because I am watching more and more of my children take steps in the direction of the deceiving words of these false prophets. Some of you hearing these words now have heard the voices of at least one false prophet. Guard your heart now, For I tell you that in the coming year, the works of these false prophets is going to accelerate. Stop wasting your time searching the television for preacher after preacher. Many of you have allowed soiled seed to be sown into your hearts, and it has begun to have an impact on your walk with me. You have allowed confusion to be sown into your life. You are allowing your doctrine and the path of your life to be established by the words of those who have not heard me in the way they proclaim. As my son said, if it is possible, even the very elect will be deceived. Yet in his words is the revelation that you can make it possible not to be deceived. In and of yourselves, you are all able to be deceived. There are no exceptions. But if you follow the instructions I have given in my word, you can fortify yourselves spiritually and defend yourselves against deception. My son was not deceived, and does not my word say you can conform to the same image of his glory? My servant, the apostle Paul, was not deceived, for had he been, I could not have spoken through him to write so much scripture. In fact, it is through some of his writings that I give instructions on how you can protect yourselves against deception. Again I say, guard your heart now, for those who are weak spiritually are candidates for this deception. There are homes which will be divided because of this deception. Ministries will take stands against each other. Those who once spoke truth will speak more and more deception. I am watching now as many of my children are being led astray. So again, guard your heart and strengthen yourself in the Spirit to stand firm to the end. Now, Father, we want to lift up this situation and these people that are giving themselves over to the influence of the enemy. And Father, we just pray that their eyes would be opened, that these false prophets would realize what is happening, and that they would not continue on this path of being deceived by the enemy. But Father, the deception would be exposed. They would realize their error. They would repent. They would turn. They would make things right. And that, Father, they would get back on the right path that you originally established for them. Father, may their eyes be open to see how the enemy has worked in their lives to bring about deception. Father, may they realize how that they've gotten off of the track that you had put them on. May they realize, Father, that Satan has been lying to them and that they've been mixing truth with a lie to come up with doctrines that do not edify but only deceive. Father, I pray over the people who have heard the voices of these false prophets and the people who will hear the voices of these false prophets. May our hearts be continually sensitive to these voices. And that, Father, in us, there would be like this check in our spirit when we hear this voice. Even if we're not hearing anything wrong, may there be a check in our spirit that this is the voice of a false prophet and that the truth is being used to set us up for deception to lead us into a lie. Father, may we be continually sensitive to your voice when you speak and say, this is not a truth from me, but this is a truth from the enemy. Father, may this church that we're in right now, may we grow in our walk with you. Father, may there be a hunger in us to seek your face, a hunger to guard our hearts, as you have said. Father, the words of these false prophets and the things that they've sown into our lives, I say in Jesus' name, may that seed dry up at the roots and may it not bear fruit in our lives. That, Father, we would be sensitive to any kind of wrong teaching that we have willingly accepted, and that anyone in this church who has fallen into any of these traps of the false prophets, they would realize it, and that, Father, they would get the junk out of their lives and allow you, by the power of your word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to clear that stuff out so that, Father, there would be no deception in them whatsoever, only the operation of your pure truth. Father, may we be so sensitive to those that we are listening to on the radio and on television and the books and just the way that we open ourselves up to other ministries. Father, I just pray that the people who are hearing this, that they would be sensitive to what you have said about turning the television off and not seeking for the preachers, that, Father, they would seek after you. That, Father, they would not allow soiled seed to be sown into the atmosphere of their homes, but that they would realize what is happening. May they not be willing to accept anything just because it's Christian and comes from a Christian and comes from a preacher and comes from somebody that sounds good and that they like on the television or on the radio. Father, may we be very sensitive. May we be as selective as you when it comes to truth. Father, we know you do not bless anything that is not truth. Therefore, may we take a stand. No matter how many preachers we would have to cut out of our lives, may we take a stand to only receive from those who are sowing truth and life into our lives. Father, I want to thank you for the power of your word. I want to thank you, Father, that your word is working mightily in us. Father, I pray that homes in this church will not be divided over this. That, Father, eyes will be opened and ears will be opened, and that they will see what is happening. If there's anyone, any family in this church, Father, where this has taken place, I say in Jesus' name, this divisive work of the enemy through deception, it ends. In the name of Jesus, it ends, Father. And that only truth will rule and reign in the homes, and that hearts will be knit together in truth according to your word. And Father, prepare us, prepare this congregation, prepare this church for any kind of an attack that would come from individuals or ministries. Any kind of an attack that would declare us as being heretics, or that would declare us as being a cult, or whatever it would be, that, Father, we would be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and that, Father, those words and those accusations, they would bounce off of us, just roll off our backs like water off of a duck's back. And that, Father, we would not allow those words and those accusations to penetrate into our emotions to where we would take a wrong attitude toward those individuals. But, Father, if words are spoken against us, may our hearts be sensitive to your heart, that we would pray for those people and that their lives would change, and that, Father, things would be different for them. So, Father, again, I just say that in Jesus' name, none of your children associated with this ministry will be among those who are led astray. And that, Father, we will be diligent about guarding our hearts and strengthening ourselves spiritually against the deception, and that we will not be a part of those who are led astray and misled, Father, according to the wrong teaching. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Be very cautious about how you spend your money in the months to come. Focus on getting out of debt instead of sinking deeper into debt. A natural disaster is coming in the next year, which will have an economic impact. There will be a ripple effect in many sectors. Many lives are going to be lost in this disaster. Be forewarned that what you see on Wall Street, the Dow Jones averages, are deceptive. The economy looks good, but it is just a sugarcoating that is covering a sour situation. Your economy was sold out many years ago, and the effect has been growing. Prepare yourself and use wisdom with your finances. Now, Father, we lift this up to you, and we pray according to what you've told us to do. And, Father, as far as the money is concerned, we just intercede right now and just ask for your wisdom for ourselves and for those who are a part of this ministry, our family members, our friends, even those, Father, who aren't here and attend this church. Father, we pray and ask for your wisdom so that we would be smart, spiritually smart, when it comes to using our money. May we not look at any kind of financial increase as a way to make greater purchases and think that we can afford the payments. Father, may we see any kind of an increase as an opportunity to be more involved in your kingdom purposes and to get out of debt. And that, Father, your wisdom will guide our hands as we use our money. In every way that we use our money, Father, may it be according to your wisdom. And Father, when it comes to the whole aspect of the stock market and so forth, may our eyes be open to see what is really happening. May we be very sensitive spiritually to financial things that are taking place even before they happen. And Father, if there are places where you would want us to invest money, show us what to do and show us how to do it. May we operate according to your perfect will and perfect wisdom and knowledge, because Father, we know that you can direct us in these things. And as far as this disaster is concerned, Father, we would intercede on behalf right now. And you have said many lives are going to be lost, but we would ask that it would be minimal. We would ask, Father, that even now you would get involved in this. And if possible, Father, for this disaster to be averted, for it not to happen, so that the lives aren't lost. And Father, we just thank you now for moving. We thank you that in this area, we do have victory. We have victory. Even in this disaster thing, Father, there is victory. And in the financial area, Father, we claim victory in this. And that, Father, we will not be deceived by what appears to be wonderful, but it is actually, Father, a work of the enemy to get Christians destroyed financially. So, Father, thank you now for this wisdom, and thank you for helping us in this area. I told you not long ago that another terrorist attack is in the planning for this country. There are stockpiles of weapons being readied. What you don't know And what has not been revealed to the people of this nation is that your security agencies have already stopped other attacks. There are many things kept secret, but victories are being won. Pray for the plans of the enemy to be revealed. It is not needful for all the citizens to know these plans, just those who can intervene. I tell you that if you pray, attacks can be averted. Well, Father, we lift this up to you and we pray over this right now. And Father, we're not fools. We know that there are people in this world who would want to destroy this country for really no reason. That they are walking in confusion. They absolutely do not know why they would want to destroy this country. They just know they want to. Father, we pray for these terrorists that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the most important thing in all of this, that they would come to know Jesus. And Father, we lift up our intelligence agencies, those in this country and those in other nations, so that these attack plans would be revealed, that, Father, the weapon stockpiles would be exposed, that you would minister what you know to those in the intelligence community so that they would know what to do, where to go, that they would be easily able to identify those who are in this country, that are, maybe they're in this country legally, but they are terrorists. Father, may this be revealed and may it be exposed. May the plans of the enemy be revealed to those who can intervene. And Father, we just say in Jesus' name that these attacks will be averted and that our intelligence agencies will have success in this and that the enemy's plans will be stopped and they will be frustrated and they will not bear the fruit that they desire. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. There is going to be great upheaval in the Middle East. If you think closely to what has happened in the past year, much more conflict has arisen beyond that which you see in Iraq. But these other flashpoints have been buried in the back pages of your newspapers while the situation in Iraq has been the focus. Israel is going to face another crisis. There are plans being formulated this moment to try and put Israel in a no-win situation. If these plans are allowed to come forth and not stop through prayer, Israel will act in its own national interests and preservation. Their actions will be decried by many, including many in the political arena in this nation. Now, Father, we lift this up to you, and we ask that you begin to move in such a way to where these plans that are being put together right now against Israel, that they are stopped in the name of Jesus. That, Father, these things are going to just completely fall through, and that the nations that are involved in this, may it be exposed who they are and what they are doing. And I don't care what countries they are, Father. May it be exposed who they are and what they are doing. May it become an international scandal in these nations. Father, may it come back on them. May people lose their jobs over this, lose their positions over this. May even people in their own countries turn against them. May there be so much confusion in the camp of the enemy over this. And Father, we just do lift up the nation of Israel and continue to pray for their peace. Pray for the protection of this nation. Father, we know what your word says, and we know that things are going to happen. The book of Revelation reveals terrible things that are going to happen, but you also instruct us to pray. And so, Father, we do pray for peace in that region. We do pray for the protection of Israel. And we thank you, Father, that these plans you've spoken of here in this word, that these plans are stopped in the name of Jesus, and they will not come forth. Hallelujah. The things that have happened in Iraq have been a diversion by the enemy. Do you not think it strange that once military action began in Iraq, it was not long before Saddam Hussein was captured? Do you not think he could have escaped and even left his country under cover of night? I tell you, he was not discovered, as many would think. He was handed over by the God he worshipped. He was sacrificed by the devil because he had lost his usefulness. Satan has worked hard to bring about this diversion in Iraq. This diversion will allow him to manipulate the international political scene for the purpose of raising up the Antichrist. If this diversion were not taking place, many of the things which are now happening would draw too much attention. Political figures are moving to establish their power. When the time is right, these positionings will come to light. Alliances are being established. National boundaries are beginning to fade. Nations will begin to allow leaders from other countries to dictate policies. But there is no alarm over this while the diversion is happening. However, when the time is right, the diversion will settle down for a season. By then, the political strongholds will be in place, and some people will wonder, how did this happen? But I say unto you, heed the words of my son, and let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. I will see you through. I will be your strength and your peace. I will be your sword and your shield. I will be your ever-present help in times of trouble. Praise God. So, Father, we hear these words and these things that you're speaking. It seems to fit right in with the things that John wrote in the book of Revelation. It seems like this is a precursor of what is to come. Father, we understand that. And we know that we cannot change Scripture. We cannot change what has been declared. But, Father, you have said that you will see us through. You have said that you are going to be our strength and our peace, our sword, our shield, that you'll be our ever-present help in times of trouble. Father, you said not to let our heart be troubled and not to let it be afraid. So, Father, I lift up the people of this church and the people that will hear these words, whether they hear them with their ears or read them. And, Father, may this part of this word penetrate deeply into our hearts, not to let ourselves be troubled or afraid, to understand that you will see us through, to understand that you are our strength and our peace, our sword, our shield, and our ever-present help in times of trouble. Father, may we be so confident in this and so strong in this that when these things begin to happen and other people begin to become worried or begin to become fearful, use us, Father, to minister your peace and your strength to them. Use us, Father, to help them get their hearts and their minds at ease. Use us to speak Jesus unto them, so that they will realize that Jesus Christ is the answer in the midst of all of this turmoil. Father, we know that terrible things are going to happen because your word says so. However, we know, according to your word, that you will see us through. And we thank you for being our strength. May we never lose focus, Father, that you are our strength, our peace, our sword, our shield, and our ever-present help in times of trouble. Father, we thank you for this promise. May it come true in all fullness in our lives. In Jesus' name, praise God. As you have seen, I am cleaning my house. Just as my son used a whip to drive out the money changers, I am using the whip of my glory and anointing to purge my house. Have I not said in my word that I am the judge and I put one down and raise up another? I speak to the hearts of those in error and sin. The day has come that if they do not repent in secret with me, I will drag them out before the world. I have said in my word that you are to be holy as I am holy. I say to you now, repent of your sin and follow the path of holiness. My judgment will pass from the pulpit to the pews, and none will escape being held accountable. Sexual sins, financial improprieties, self-ambitions, and many other things will be brought to light in the days to come. So, Father, we lift this up to you, and we just lift up the people of this church, Father, the body of Christ, and, Father, people that are a part of this ministry, a part of this church, if there is sin that they need to get out of, if there is sin that they need to repent of, Father, I pray that they will repent in secret with you, so that, Father, they will not have to go through the judgment of this being exposed to other people. Those, Father, in this congregation that may be involved in any kind of sexual misbehavior, in Jesus' name, Father, may they be greatly convicted over this, no matter what it is. May they be greatly convicted over this. May they repent and turn to your power, turn to your anointing, turn to your glory, for this thing to completely turn around, that they will never give in to it again. They will walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Father, I would declare that whatever sin might exist in this church, in this congregation, that those who are committing it, that they will be sensitive to your voice of conviction, and that they will repent, and that, Father, they will turn from the ways that displease you. Father, may this church be known as a church of purity, a church of holiness, a church where people walk the walk that is described and declared in your word. And Father, may we be an example, not an example, Father, that would feed the ego, but Father, just an example of people who are committed and sold out to you and live the holy lifestyle that you have declared. So Father, I want to thank you for ministering to the people in this church, all of us, Father, over any sin that needs to be dealt with. And Father, I just say in Jesus' name, it will be dealt with, it'll be purged, and it will no longer be a part of our lives. In Jesus' name. A great army is being raised up in the Spirit. I have mighty warriors in training even now. Man's religion has defined for you what a great ministry is. But I say that such a definition is flawed. To me, a great ministry is that where the one called obeys my word
and is not seeking self-promotion, but is seeking the promotion of the kingdom, who loves me more than anything or anyone, and is not concerned or captured by the affairs of this life. You have been trained to judge a ministry by the size of the filled arenas and members in the congregations. But it would amaze you how many of the so-called mega churches and large ministries have not been built with my anointing, but have been built with human ingenuity. Slick programming and planning have developed much of what you see. I'm not saying that the heads of those ministries or those pastoring such churches do not love me. However, they have been caught up in man's way of doing things. My army has been in training for a long time. Your enemy has not been acutely aware of what has been going on. For when my prophet Elijah cried out to me, thinking he was all alone, I told him I had reserved 7,000 unto myself who had not bowed their knee to Baal. Those 7,000 were hidden away by me in preparation for the day that they should be brought forth. In the same way, I have held in reserve thousands upon thousands who have been in training and preparation. They have been in the caves of their prayer closets seeking my face. They have not sought to grow their churches or ministries, only to serve me. They are becoming storehouses of my glory and anointing. I have begun bringing them forth, and they are creating great disturbances in the realm of the Spirit. Strongholds of the enemy, which have been in place for years, decades, and even centuries, are coming down. The enemy has been caught off guard by the intensity of this move. He knew people were seeking me, but since he cannot see their hearts, he did not know the extent to which they had entered my presence. There is great warfare taking place as those clad in the fullness of my spiritual armor are taking back ground in large portions. Not all of my army have been released into the battle. They will be released in waves in a strategic manner that will confound the camp of the enemy. He will not know where the next attack is going to be launched. Many in my church will live their lives oblivious to what is happening. They have settled into a pattern of religion while they wait the return of my son. Many of the large ministries and mega churches will conduct their religious business as usual, selling their gimmicks to raise money, crying and laughing together on each other's TV programs, prophesying whatever will bring in the most offerings, and missing out on what I am really doing. I love them all and recognize that they truly believe they are serving me, yet they have missed the real reason I have called them. Some in my army will lose their lives in this war, but they will be received into my presence with great reward and rejoicing. But for each one who dies, 10 more will be released to carry on. For just as the enemy has been planning his moves in these last days, I have been planning mine. And I would remind you of this. I know all of the enemy's plans, but he knows none of mine. What I am telling you is that the very beginning stages of revival have begun. In the natural, there has been no great fanfare, and this has essentially gone unnoticed. But that is the way I planned it. For in this revival, man will not get the glory, and those in my army will not seek it. For have I not said in my word that the glory is mine? I have not limited the number of those who will be in this army. Many will see what is happening and will choose to commit and consecrate themselves totally unto me. I will then be able to use them in my army. To those who desire that I use them this way, I would say, sell out to me and make your life with me the priority. Have I not said in my word that I will replace whatever you feel you lose as you seek me? Because of the way this warfare has begun, millions will be brought into my kingdom. Masses will be swept into salvation because the enemy will have been caught off guard. Even though he may hear the words of this message, it will do him no good, for he cannot see into my heart and he does not know my mind. Oh, I laugh even now at the futility of his efforts to stop me. Yes, the sound of my laughter is resounding throughout heaven in a way that brings depths of joy to those who are here. I see the victories that are about to take place, and I am excited because my glory is going to be seen throughout the world. So take heed to what I have said. Turn to me for your strength and peace. Make me your first love. Allow me to work in you my perfect plan. I will release into you abundant glory and anointing. You will hear my voice. You will know my presence. You will sit in the midst of my love. You will know me as your father and feel the eternal confidence of being my child. Man, I tell you what, every time I read this, I just get excited. This is cool. Father, we pray over this. Hallelujah. Father, this army, we pray over this army. And Father, in the realm of the Spirit, it must be a glorious sight. But we pray over this. We pray strength for this army. And Father, we would pray for ourselves
that we would capture what you are saying here, the fullness of this, and we would have a like a burning desire on the inside to be a part of what you are doing. Father, may we see the parts of our lives that need to be laid aside, all the stuff that we have allowed to become distractions. May we understand, Father, what the priorities should and should not be. Father, may we begin to see what you see in us, and may we begin to see what potential exists, the potential that you know exists. May we capture the vision of that potential. Father, may we be a part of this number that is clad in the fullness of your spiritual armor. Father, may we be a part of those people that have chosen to sell out everything to you, to be so totally committed to you that we love you more than anything or anyone. Father, may we, if our eyes have been distracted by what we perceive as successful ministries, the ones that you don't see as truly being successful, may we see it the way you see it. May we recognize it the way that you recognize it. And Father, may we no longer be enamored by size and by numbers and all of these things that the body of Christ sometimes seems to be so caught up in. Father, may we be caught up in your glory. May we be caught up in your anointing. May we be caught up in your presence. May we be so hungry for your presence, Father, that is all we desire. May we be consumed with your will and a desire to fulfill that will above anything else. Father, I thank you so much that you love us. And we lift up the heads of these ministries and the mega churches that they've been deceived, Father, and that they're doing things that are wrong. May their eyes be opened. May they see what has happened. And Father, even if it means losing members in their church or the size of the ministry being diminished, Father, may they realize that it'll be like a Gideon experience, to where the numbers may go down, but the glory rises. To where, Father, it may look like they're losing, but in reality, they are winning. And Father, may we not be caught up in the numbers aspect. May we be caught up in your presence. May we be caught up in wanting what you desire. And Father, I thank you. I praise you now for the millions that are coming into the kingdom. I praise you for these masses that are being swept into salvation all over the world. And Father, we rejoice with you that the enemy has been caught off guard. Father, we rejoice that Satan doesn't know which way to turn. May the confusion increase in his camp. And Father, in the midst of this confusion, may he continually lose his grip over the masses of people so that they rush into your kingdom. They rush to the foot of the cross, crying out for salvation, giving their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that even our family members are a part of this group. All of them, they're coming in, Father. They're coming in droves. And we praise you for this. So, Father, we thank you for being our strength and being our peace. May we, Father, truly make that decision to turn to you and make you our first love. Father, work in us your perfect plan. And we thank you for releasing into us abundant glory and anointing. We thank you that we hear your voice and know your presence. We thank you, Father, that we are sitting in the midst of your love. And we thank you, Father, for the eternal confidence of being your child. We bless you and we honor you for these things, Father. We glorify you. And Father, in the days to come, as these words that we have heard from you, this prophecy that you've given to us, as you remind us of these things, may we begin to pray. May we just, whether it's just a short prayer or a longer prayer, but Father, may we just begin to intercede on these things as you bring them to mind. And Jesus, all the glory goes to you. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, go ahead and get your confessions. Father, it is not your will that any perish, but that everybody comes to repentance and accepts Jesus as Savior. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I call Grace Christian Center in the Miami Valley in revival and filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Father, send laborers into the harvest field of the lives of the people. People are coming in from the north, south, east, and west. They are being redeemed from the hand of the enemy and are sitting down in the kingdom of God. The lost are being saved, backsliders are being restored, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. The sick, afflicted, and maimed are healed and made whole. Those oppressed or possessed by demonic powers are delivered. Every week, more and more people are coming in.
No matter where they are or where they live or what church they currently attend, the ones who the Father wants here are coming in and nothing hinders them. We never have less than a full house every service. The children of my family in this church shall not be the prey of nor taken captive by the enemy. Neither will they give in to any of his temptations to sin. I call them born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and on fire for God. They are his children and they call him their God. Their heart is tender toward him and they serve, fear, and respect him forever and train their children to do the same. They hunger and thirst after righteousness and the cry of their heart is, come with us and go deeper into God. Let us never forget that he is our Father and we are his children. All the wives in this church are submitted in a scriptural, orderly fashion to their husbands as unto the Lord. They recognize that their husband is their head or scriptural covering, even as Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. In the same way that the church is in submission to Christ, the wives of this church are in submission to their husbands in everything. The husbands of this church love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It is according to this exact same pattern that the husbands of this church love their wives as their own bodies. In the same way that Christ nourishes the church, the husbands minister to the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of their wives. The husbands here are not infidels, and they are not lazy. They work and provide for their family. The husbands and wives of this church have left their father and mother, and they are one flesh. They are not divided. They are satisfied with each other. They are pleased with each other. They rejoice in each other. They are ravished always with their love for each other. They are faithful always to each other and never seek anyone else. The homes of this church are stable in Christ and filled with the peace of God. Jesus is the Lord over every home in this church. Strife and discord have no place. Satan will not work his plans of divorce and division. This church has no divorce rate, only successful marriages where God is free to work. God is sending in every willing, skillful worker for every area in this ministry. The talents, abilities, ministries, and gifts contained in every person who is a part of this ministry are coming forth in excellence, being developed and used for the glory of Jesus. Jesus, I praise you that by your stripes the people of this church were healed. You took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Father, you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from all destructions. Therefore, I call all the people of this church and all who visit healed, delivered, and totally recovered from every sickness, disease, and infirmity, no matter what the cause or the source. I say even the maimed are made whole. Sickness, disease, infirmities, and afflictions, obey the word of the Lord and leave people's bodies now, no matter what the cause or the source. Go in Jesus' name and do not return. The people of this church are praisers and they are worshipers. They praise and worship God in song, on instruments, in dance, and with uplifted hands. They are not shy, self-conscious, or hindered by pride and religious traditions. They sing in the spirit and with the understanding. We worship the Lord as one. His glory fills this place like a cloud. The people of this church are praying people. They redeem their time and use it wisely. They spend time in fellowship with God, praying in the spirit and with the understanding. They are edified and built up on their most holy faith. The people of this church are fasting people. They fast and tear down strongholds of the flesh. The people of this church are word people. They meditate in God's word day and night and live by every word that comes from God. They do not allow the doctrines or traditions of man to render the word of God of none effect. They do not compromise by exalting religious beliefs of their past over truth. They are sound in doctrine and prosper in all they do. I know your grace, Lord Jesus, that though you were rich, yet for our sake you became poor, that we through your poverty might be rich. God makes all grace abound toward us, and we always have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. God supplies all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we operate in your wisdom concerning our finances. We do not give heed to the lies of the enemy that would deceive us into buying what we shouldn't buy, improperly using credit, and not giving to our church and other ministries as we should give. We always give as the Lord desires, The enemy's weapons of poverty and financial foolishness do not succeed in our lives. All my money and material things are under the Lordship of Jesus. I am the Lord's faithful steward and use all I have for the purpose of His kingdom. Exceeding abundance and multiplied thousands of dollars come into Grace Ministries every week. Grace Ministries has all the lands, buildings, furnishings, equipment, supplies, and finances necessary to fulfill the works and the will of the Father. There is no lack in this ministry. All of the people, businesses, and organizations who are to give into this ministry are doing so on a continual basis. I thank you, Father, for giving the people of this ministry the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding are continually enlightened, and we know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, and the exceeding greatness of your power toward us, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. We are filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, we walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and are fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. We are strengthened with all your might, according to your glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We worship and thank you, Father, because you have made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, as the Father sent you into the world, you have sent us into the world. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things needed to fulfill your will are added unto us. Our life is all about doing the will of the Father and to finish his work. We do your will, Father. We work your works. We do not speak of ourselves, but whatever you tell us to speak, that is what we say. As Jesus is, so are we in the world. The people of this church do not live according to the corrupt ways of the old man. We are renewed in our way of thinking. We live according to our born-again life, which was given to us by God and was created out of his own righteousness and true holiness. As members of the body of Christ, we put away lying and always speak the truth. We do not sin in anger and do not let a bad temper or wrath control our lives. We do not give place to the devil. We do not steal. We are wise with our money and give to help others in need. No form of corruption crosses our lips. We speak that which is godly, is edifying, and that ministers grace to others. We do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We put away all bitterness, anger, clamor, evil speaking, wrath, and malice. We are kind and tender-hearted toward others, and we forgive them no matter what they have done, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We love others in the same way that God loves us. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I am not my own. I have been bought with a price, the blood and life of Jesus. I am God's prized possession, and I glorify him in my body and in my spirit. I choose to live daily according to the life and nature of God in me, and I do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I am Christ, and I have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. I have God's spiritual life, and I live according to that life. I keep my body, mind, will, and emotions under control and make them subject unto the life and will of God and do not bring a reproach on my testimony of Christ. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable thing to do. I do not remain conformed to this world's way of thinking. I am renewed in my mind and think according to God's life, character, will, and word. I grow continually in my knowledge and understanding of his good, acceptable, and perfect will for my life and calling. I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think of things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, and worthy of praise. I do not worry about anything, but cast all my care upon you, Lord, as I pray and worship you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I say that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon our pastor, Kathy, the leadership, and all who minister the word in this church. They operate by the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Father, you make them quick understanding, and they do not judge or reprove according to what they see or hear. The Spirit of the Lord is upon them and has anointed them to preach the gospel to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. No weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against them is condemned. Nothing Satan or man plans against them for their destruction or to interfere with God's will for their lives will ever be successful. They hold fast to and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching in all faith and love, which is for us in Christ Jesus. They move, minister, and operate in all areas of their lives by the anointing and leadership of the Holy Spirit. They diligently adhere to and keep the unaltered truth of God's word. Utterance is given to them, and they speak boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. They never speak of themselves, but only speak what they hear from God. They do not live by the mind of the flesh, but by the mind of Christ. They live according to their born-again life, God's life in them, and they do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. They always bear the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Jim hears the word of the Lord telling him which way to go and what to do. He trusts in the Lord with all his heart, and he does not lean to his own understanding. In all his ways he acknowledges God and follows the direction God is leading him. He is not wise in his own eyes. He fears the Lord and departs from all evil. He receives from God the perfect will and plan for this ministry and makes all decisions according to that will and plan. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and I reign in life by him. I say that the prince of the kingdom of the Miami Valley is defeated. I say that the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spirits of wickedness, seducing spirits, and devils of wrong doctrine are totally and completely defeated. They cannot hinder any of these things from happening. I call their grip over people, finances, and material things broken and loosed. Satan and his devils are all defeated, and Jesus Christ is Lord. I speak to all of you evil spirits and command you to obey the word of the Lord. I rebuke you and declare that your work in these things confessed is over. Angels, you are dispatched to go forth and create atmospheres conducive for all of these things to happen. Father, may they be empowered from on high to accomplish these things. Father, your word has gone forth and it will not return void. It will accomplish your will and prosper as it has been sent. I have spoken according to your will and believe that those things which I have said shall come to pass. In Jesus' name, I ask that you become involved on a daily basis with your word that I have spoken, adding your anointing and power to see these things accomplished. We believe that we receive these prayers answered. May Jesus be glorified and you glorified in him as these things are accomplished and fulfilled. In Jesus' name, by faith, we call all of these things a completed work. Jesus, you are Lord over this ministry. Jesus, you are Lord over the Miami Valley. My life is a reflection of revival. This ministry is in revival. The Miami Valley is in revival. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, just stand up and give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. We magnify you, Jesus.